Get ready, because we're diving deep today into the world of injection mold manufacturing.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much everything around us. Your phone case, little bits inside gadgets, even takeout containers. You wanted to know how this all works, and we've got sources galore to unpack.
You know, what's really fascinating about this is it all starts as an idea, like something totally intangible, and then boom, it's an object you can hold.
That is wild.
Yeah.
And it seems like it all starts with mold design.
Absolutely, it does.
And from what I'm seeing in these sources, it sounds like way more than just sketching something out.
Right.
It's almost like the engineers are architects planning out like every little detail.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah, you really have to get those product requirements down first, inside and out. Like, imagine designing a car interior.
Okay.
It's not just about looks, right?
Okay.
You think about every curve, the texture of the material.
Yeah.
All that contributes to how it feels to drive. So the mold has to capture all that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's like function and deform.
It is.
Now, our source mentioned choosing the right kind of mold, and there are tons of options. I'm looking at hot runner molds here.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty cool.
They sound high tech.
Yeah. Those are definitely the go-to for like high volume production.
Yeah.
Where consistency is key.
Okay.
They've got these internal channels that keep the plastic molten while it flows, which means less waste.
Ah, okay.
And faster cycle times.
I see. So that's how they get that perfect finish, huh?
Yeah.
The efficiency.
Oh, exactly.
Our sources also mention CAD software for this planning.
Right?
I can only imagine how complex those drawings get.
Oh, for sure.
But before we even get to cutting metal, there's a whole other layer. Material procurement.
Totally, yeah. If the design is the blueprint,
yeah,
then procuring the right materials is like getting the highest quality building blocks.
Interesting way to think about it.
Yeah, and it starts with the steel.
Okay. And our source talks about different steel types. Almost like a chef choosing ingredients.
I like that, yeah.
Not just one size fits all.
Not at all, no. Different steels have different strengths, right?
Yeah.
Like P20 steel, it's known for its durability. Like a workhorse, you can rely on it.
I see.
Then you have H13 steel.
Okay.
That's incredibly resistant to high temperatures.
Ah.
So it's the choice when you know the mold is going to be exposed to that kind of heat.
So choosing the wrong steel could be like, I don't know, using flour when you needed cornstarch.
Right.
The whole thing's going to fall apart.
Exactly, yeah.
But it's not just about picking the right type.
No, it's not.
Right. Timing and cost.
Yeah.
Huge factors.
Oh, for sure. Huge.
Right.
That procurement planning, it's a strategic game.
Yeah.
You need to predict needs well in advance.
Hey.
Consider your supplier lead times, you know, price fluctuations.
Right.
Sometimes bulk purchasing can save money, but you don't want to end up with like a warehouse full of steel you don't need.
Right. Like overbuying groceries. They go bad.
Exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of that, I'm also curious about the role of technology in all this.
Mm-hmm.
Our source mentions ERP systems.
Oh, yeah.
But not really the specifics.
Those are revolutionizing procurement.
Okay, so how so?
Imagine like a central hub.
Okay.
That gives you real-time insight into your supply chain.
Huh.
Like you're tracking inventory levels.
Wow.
Monitoring supplier performance, even integrating that with your finances.
Oh, wow.
And production departments.
So it's less about gut feeling and more about data.
Exactly, yeah. Data-driven decisions.
Okay. So we've got our design, our materials are arriving.
Right.
What happens next? Does it all magically become a mold?
Not quite magic, but it is where like the artistry and engineering come together.
Okay.
We're talking about mold parts processing.
Okay.
Where those materials are transformed into the precise components.
Our source describes it as a dance of precision and patience.
Oh, for sure.
Which sounds like the opposite of me. But can you break down what actually happens during this processing phase?
Well, it starts with cutting, right?
Okay.
Raw steel gets selected, cut into those initial shapes. That lays the groundwork.
I see. So getting those basic shapes right is critical.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then what?
Then comes the roughing and finishing.
Oh, okay.
Think of it like sculpting.
Okay.
Roughing removes the large chunks of material to get closer to the final dimensions. While finishing, it's all about refining that shape. Smoothing out any of those rough edges.
It's all about achieving that perfect form.
Yeah, it is.
What about those super intricate details that I see on some molded parts?
Right.
I can't imagine those are made with, like, a simple chisel.
You're right, no. For those tiny features, the hard-to-reach spots, we turn to electrode processing.
Okay.
Incredibly precise. Almost like using a tiny laser to carve out those details.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing.
It is.
It's incredible how many different techniques are involved. So we've got the parts cut,
mm-hmm.
shape,
right.
even the tiniest details are carved in.
Yeah.
What's next?
Now it's time to bring those parts together.
Ah, okay.
What we call mold assembly.
So this is where it actually starts to look like, well, a mold.
Precisely.
Right?
Like assembling a 3D puzzle.
Okay.
Where every piece has a very specific place and purpose.
I see.
And the precision here. Like, imagine a mold for something like an electronic device.
Okay.
Every core,
yeah.
every cavity needs to align perfectly for things like the ejection systems and cooling systems to work flawlessly.
Oh, so if one tiny piece is off,
right.
the whole thing could be compromised.
Potentially, yeah.
That must make the debugging process pretty nerve-wracking.
Debugging. Oh, yeah. That's definitely a critical stage.
Yeah.
That's where we test the mold.
Okay.
Simulating real-world production conditions, looking for any potential problems, like inconsistencies in cooling, misaligned parts, you know,
yeah.
anything that could affect the final product.
It sounds like a lot is riding on this debugging stage.
It really is, yeah.
Our source mentions an example where a cooling system failure was caught during debugging.
Mm-hmm.
What are the consequences if something like that slips through?
Oh, huge. You could end up with warped parts, inconsistent quality, even damage to the mold itself.
Hey,
it's definitely high stakes.
I see why they call it debugging. Like little gremlins.
Right.
That can wreak havoc.
Yeah.
But even with all the planning and testing, I imagine there's still room for improvement.
Absolutely. That's where optimization comes in.
Okay, so what is that?
Refining the mold to achieve peak performance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Balancing things like cycle time.
Okay.
Material usage.
Yeah.
And, of course, quality of the final part.
So it's going beyond just working.
Yeah.
And aiming for exceptional.
Exactly, yeah. And that's where trial molds really prove their worth.
How so?
They let us test different parameters.
Okay.
Experiment with variations.
Mm.
Fine-tune the process before we commit to full-scale production.
So it's like a safety net. It is, yeah.
Are there ever surprises during these trial runs?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes issues pop up that weren't apparent during inspection.
Really? Like what?
Could be something as subtle as a slight variation in material flow that causes a little defect on the part.
Oh, wow. So what happens then?
Well, often we can make adjustments to the mold or the process based on what we learn during these runs.
It's reassuring to know there's still room for refinement, even that late in the game.
Right.
Our source also emphasized the importance of client training during the handover.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Why is that so crucial?
Well, think of it as equipping the client with like all the knowledge they need to keep that mold performing at its best.
Okay.
So we'll provide instructions on operation maintenance, even troubleshooting tips.
I see. So it's not just handing over a piece of metal.
No, not at all.
It's empowering them to use it effectively.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And get the most out of that investment. That's a great approach.
Mm-hmm.
Shows real commitment. We've covered a lot of ground so far in this deep dive.
We have, haven't we?
It's clear that this whole process, from design to delivery, it's a symphony of precision, problem solving,
right?
Attention to detail.
It is.
But before we wrap up this part, I'm curious about something. We talked about how molds are designed to produce millions of parts. But what happens when a design needs to change?
Right.
Do you have to start from scratch?
That's a great question. And you know, the beauty of these molds is that they're incredibly versatile.
Okay.
So while they are designed for mass production, they can also be modified to accommodate changes, sometimes even pretty significant changes.
So it's not all or nothing?
Not at all, no.
Give me an example.
Let's say a client wants to add a new button to their plastic phone case.
Okay.
Our team would look at the mold and figure out if there's enough space.
Okay.
If there is, they might use a process called EDM.
EDM?
Yeah, electrical discharge machining.
Oh.
To precisely carve out the cavity for the new button.
EDM. That sounds familiar. Oh. Did we talk about that?
We did.
Like earlier?
Yeah, for creating intricate details.
It's amazing how adaptable these molds are.
They really are.
It seems like you're constantly pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
I mean, the field is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
New materials, new technologies, new ways to improve efficiency and precision.
It sounds like a job that's never boring.
It's not.
You're constantly learning.
Right.
Adapting.
Yeah.
Finding creative solutions.
That's true.
Well, you've given me a whole new appreciation for all these plastic objects.
I'm glad.
It may seem simple, But now I see the process and the dedication behind them.
That's the beauty of understanding how things work, right?
It is.
It opens your eyes to the magic that's kind of hidden in the everyday.
Before we wrap up this part, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You mentioned that even after the mold's handed over, you're still there to support your clients.
Absolutely, yeah. Our relationship doesn't just end when we deliver the mold.
Okay.
We're committed to their success, which means, you know, providing support, troubleshooting any issues that come up.
Right.
Even helping them to optimize their production.
So it's a true partnership.
It is, yeah. Collaborative from start to finish.
Well, I think it's safe to say we've explored every nook and cranny of this whole process.
I think so.
But before we say goodbye, I want to make sure our listener has some key takeaways to ponder.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Throughout this whole deep dive, we've seen how crucial communication is and collaboration.
Right.
At every stage, from design to those final inspections. It's a team effort.
It is, yeah. It really highlights how important those human relationships are. Even in a field that relies so heavily on technology, we're not just building molds, we're building partnerships.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think another takeaway is the precision and attention to detail in every step.
For sure.
From the steel to inspecting the final product. But there's no room for shortcuts.
Precision is paramount. It's what allows us to create those high quality, reliable parts that we rely on every day.
Well said. I think we've given our listener plenty to chew on. But before we sign off, I have one final question.
Go for it.
Looking ahead, what are some of the trends or innovations that you think will shape the future of this?
That's a great question. Well, I think one of the most exciting trends is the use of automation and robotics.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more.
So we're seeing more and more tasks like loading and unloading parts being handled by robots, which increases efficiency, improves consistency, and reduces human error.
So it's freeing up humans to focus on the stuff that needs creativity and problem solving.
Exactly, yeah.
Finding the right balance.
It is.
I also imagine sustainability is a big thing.
Oh, huge, yeah.
Are there any innovations on that front?
Absolutely. Big push towards sustainable materials.
Like what?
Like bioplastics.
Oh, wow.
And finding new ways to reduce waste.
That's encouraging. It sounds like the future is all about finding ways to produce higher quality parts more efficiently, sustainably, and with even greater precision.
That's a great summary. Yeah. It's an exciting time to be in this industry. I can't wait to see what comes next.
I can't either. Well, I think it's time to bid farewell to our listener and send them back into their world.
Okay.
But I have a feeling they'll never look at a plastic object the same way again.
That's true. It's funny you use the word detective. Because with mold acceptance, that's exactly what we are. Yeah. We meticulously inspect that mold.
Okay.
Looking for any flaws, any inconsistencies that might, you know, affect performance.
And from what I'm seeing in our sources, this is not just a quick glance over.
No, no.
Pretty rigorous.
It has to be. We're using a whole range of tools and techniques, visual inspections, measurements, you know, even non-destructive testing.
Whoa, like what?
Like x-rays, to uncover any hidden defects.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. Even a tiny scratch on a mold surface could lead to imperfections in the final product, especially for something with like a high gloss finish.
Right. So you're not just checking if it looks good.
Right.
You're testing if it can consistently make good parts.
Exactly. And we're not just looking for those obvious flaws either. Sometimes the biggest challenge is those subtle variations that might not even be noticeable to the naked eye.
Yeah.
But could cause problems over time.
So you're making sure the mold has a long lifespan.
Yeah.
Not just a good first impression.
Right.
Now, our source mentions setting very specific acceptance standards with the client. Why is that so important?
Setting those standards up front is like signing a contract.
Okay.
Make sure everyone's on the same page, you know.
Yeah.
Understanding what's a pass or a fail. What are the tolerances, dimensions, surface finishes, you know, how it performs under certain conditions.
So it's less about opinions, more about measurement.
Exactly, yeah. Which helps to, like, prevent disputes down the line.
Right, right.
And it also helps to focus our inspection on the areas that are most critical to the client.
Okay. So the mold passes inspection.
Right.
Are we finally ready to hand it over?
Almost. There's one more crucial step before we declare victory.
Okay.
Trial production runs.
Okay.
Where we actually use the mold to make a small batch of parts, simulating real-world production.
Like the dress rehearsal before opening night?
Yeah.
But why is this step important if it's already passed inspection?
Well, think of it as like the final proof of concept.
Okay.
It's one thing to inspect a mold in isolation. It's another to see it working, you know, under all those real world stresses.
Yeah.
The heat, the pressure, the rapid cycling.
So it has to live up to its promises.
Exactly.
Are there ever surprises during these trial runs?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes issues pop up that weren't apparent before.
Like what?
Could be something like a variation in material flow that causes a defect on the part.
What happens then? Back to square one.
Not necessarily, no. Often we can make adjustments to the mold or the process.
Okay.
Based on what we learn from the trials.
I see. It's reassuring to know that there's still room for refinement.
There is.
Even that late in the game. Our source also mentioned client training during handover.
Oh, yeah. That's super important.
Why is that?
Think of it as, like, giving the client all the tools they need to keep their mold in tip-top shape.
I see.
We provide instructions for operation and maintenance, even troubleshooting tips.
So it's not just handing over a piece of metal.
Right.
Or empowering them.
Exactly. To use it properly and get the most out of it.
It shows you're committed to them, you know, after the sale.
Absolutely.
Exploring this world of injection mold manufacturing with you has been, I don't know, eye-opening.
It is, isn't it?
I feel like I have a whole new level of respect for all those everyday plastic objects.
Yeah.
We just take for granted.
Right.
To think about all the planning, the precision, the problem solving, that goes into something as simple as, I don't know, a bottle cap or a toothbrush.
Crazy, right?
It really is. And you, dear listener, were the catalyst for this whole journey.
Oh.
Your curiosity sparked our deep dive, and I hope we've shown you the magic behind the scenes.
What if we have?
From that initial design all the way to those final inspections.
Absolutely. We talked about the different types of molds, the materials, that processing and an assembly.
Oh, and you shared some real world examples.
Yeah.
Remember that story about the cooling system failure?
Oh, yeah.
During debugging?
That was a good one.
Highlighted the importance of those checks and balances.
Oh, for sure. Because even with the best planning and, you know, the latest technology, things can still go wrong.
They can.
That's why those quality control measures are so important.
Absolutely. And those quality control measures, remind me, we can't forget those skilled technicians and engineers.
No, absolutely not. No.
The unsung heroes.
Yeah, their expertise and dedication are evident in like every part.
Yeah. They're the ones taking those designs and turning them into actual objects.
Right. Carefully machining everything.
Yeah.
Assembling, striving for perfection.
It's amazing the power of human ingenuity working with technology.
Yeah, it really is.
And I think that's a key takeaway. It's not just about the machines and automation.
Right.
It's about people.
It is.
Their skills, their passion.
Right.
So the next time you pick up, you know, some random plastic thing.
Yeah.
I hope you'll see it in a new light.
I hope so too.
Imagine the journey from a designer's mind to the hands of the people who made it.
Yeah.
Collaboration, innovation, and a commitment to quality hidden inside every little thing.
It's true. A reminder that there's more to things than meets the eye, right?
It is.
Those everyday objects have amazing stories.
They do. Well, time to wrap up this deep dive, but I hope the exploration doesn't end here. To you, dear listener, keep those questions coming. We're always ready for a new adventure. Uncovering these hidden wonders.
Totally.
And sharing them with you.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been. Until next time, keep exploring.